What is up? Welcome to another edition of Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd, my co-host. He covers the team for The Athletic as well. It is Thomas Drance. We're broadcasting live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, working together with you in step. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line, Metro Vancouver's trusted choice for contractors and rental warriors for over 50 years. Visit them at one of their three locations to serve you or online at DunbarLumber.com. JanPro, from showrooms to stockrooms and everything in between, JanPro keeps workplaces tidy, clean, and disinfected. For a free quote, visit JanPro.ca. Big Wednesday show, as always. The crossover coming up here in a few minutes. Jason Buchla. I'm always excited to chat with Books on a Wednesday. One of our favorites, but especially today, Drancer, to talk to him about the emergence of Elias Pettersson. D. Petey, plans for the statue in the works already, I think, outside Rogers Arena.
Well, that might be a little much, but hey, Books was always really high on Elias Pettersson, and he played really well. This feels a lot different than the Canucks fans talk themselves into young defensemen simply because they're young and Canucks fans are desperate for hope thing that we've done on occasion. Jack Rathbone, Akito Hirose, anyone else?
I was wondering if you're going to name names there. Or just
Noah Juulsen.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I don't think that's happened.
No, there were moments last year. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Where people were like, well, maybe you play Juulsen with Hughes coming into this season. Don't let that go down the memory hole. That absolutely happened. As angry as people are at Noah Juulsen now, that was not the case this time last year.
Okay, so, yeah, so there was some of that. Point being, this looks materially different. Canucks, fun hockey at Rogers Arena in this economy? I didn't know it was permitted.
Yep.
That was by far the most enjoyable, free, joyful game of hockey that this franchise has played on home ice all year. I'd say anywhere all year. I thought the vibe around this team felt wildly different in the most welcome possible way, and I'd expect we'll spend some time ruminating on that, both on the crossover with Donnie and Dolly, who we should get to shortly.
And one of the most remarkable things about that, no Quinn Hughes in the lineup. And think about how instrumental Quinn Hughes has been to not just the success of the team, but the entertainment value of the team, right? To say that, wow, that was a really entertaining, fun game that they won and beat a Colorado team with Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar. The fact that they were able to have not just a good performance, but a really fun, entertaining performance with Quinn Hughes still out of the lineup, I think that's one of the things that really sticks out to me as well. All right, Don, we're good to go here? All right, it is time for the crossover with Don Taylor and Rick Dollywell. Of course, they are the hosts of Donnie and Dolly, which you can check out Monday to Friday, 10 to noon on Check TV. And they join us now, as they do every Wednesday. Rick, Don, what's going on, guys?
Hello.
Well, just basking in the glow of another outstanding 2 hours of television on Check, and a 3-0 Canuck win over Colorado.
He took his humble pills.
I was going to say, it never gets old, right? Doing those two amazing hours, Donnie. You never get used to it. You're just like, I killed it again.
We had Yannick Hansen on from 650.
There you go.
He was on our show, and then we had Michael Bublé. Not a bigger Canuck fan out there, and it was a lot of fun. He knows a lot. He told us some things regarding what's going on with the Canucks right now. Not everything, but it was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Did you get the inside scoop from Michael Bublé?
You'll have to tune in and check out our hits on Twitter and or YouTube to find out.
All right, we'll see if
it was really interesting.
How can I move forward without knowing? You've kept me in too much suspense. Michael Bublé's Canucks
takes. One of the things he said. He talks to a lot of people.
He talks to a lot of the players.
Let's just say that, and he says, I'm paraphrasing here, but that the team, the players are happy for JT Miller. They like JT Miller. They love JT Miller in some cases, but it was time for him to move on.
Yeah.
It was best for the team, and maybe we're seeing that on the ice, and best for JT Miller. Maybe we're seeing that in New York, 4 points in a couple of games. So I haven't heard anybody say that,
no.
Michael said that today, that, yeah, JT Miller is liked, loved, but it was time for him to go.
Absolutely.
Well, and this is our first time chatting with you guys since the trade happened. And, you know, I know for a lot of Canucks fans, there's an emotional attachment to Miller, and then you see it, and maybe it's an underwhelming return, and there's this sense of frustration and anger. But I'm curious, given what we've seen from these last couple of home games, and I know they lost to Detroit, but there was a lot of encouraging signs there. Really nice win last night. And as I was saying, that's without Quinn Hughes in the lineup, the new guys are playing well. I'm wondering if fans are starting to come around to that idea, right? That, look, it's not even necessarily just about JT Miller as a person. It's not saying anything negative about him, but man, it was time for all parties involved to move on. And the vibe all of a sudden around the Canucks feels much, much different than it did this time last week.
Absolutely. And JT Miller, hey, look, 4-1-1 in their past six games. They've only one of the most impressive things, guys, they've only allowed 11 goals in their past six games. And two of them were empty netters in Dallas, right? So the goaltending's coming around, the defensive plays coming around, all that stuff. Three out of four points in the last two games without Quinn Hughes. Like last night, we all wanted to see Hughes, McCarr, and they still win without that matchup in terms of how, you know, sexy that matchup is always is, because they're the two top defensemen in the National Hockey League. So give them credit. You know, guys coming in and out of the lineup. What, they got four new guys, three, four left. That's really tough in a short period of time for the coaching staff to get everybody on board, systems. Hey, guys, they're going so well right now. We haven't even seen Mancini yet. Mm. Like, you know, and look at the blue line. It's getting awfully crowded. Juleson was out last night. And if Hughes plays in San Jose tomorrow or Saturday, they are going to have three extra defensemen and some tough choices to make who's going to be in the press box, and it'll be between Forbert, Juleson, and Mancini. So there's a lot of positives. We took our positivity pills last night and this morning, and they're working.
Well,
to give them credit, Rick.
Agree with me.
Give them credit.
He did.
They beat the Blues. They beat the Capitals. Hey, did you see it for two straight games?
Sharks.
They actually tried. Like, come on. What do you mean? They're tied with the Flames.
They just
give
beat
them credit.
The Avalanche on home ice, and
they're going so well that Victor Mancini can't
Thomas.
Even get in the lineup.
Thomas,
you didn't even know who he was a week ago.
Thomas,
God,
and you were the one raving. Thomas, you were raving about Mancini last week on the phone to me. Are you serious? Oh, they got Mancini.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Thomas, did they beat San Jose last night? Jeez, wake up, Thomas. Give your head a shake.
San Jose for the last month. Colorado scuffling hard.
Oh, according to you, Utah's the best team in the NHL, you told us last week. Remember? Keep an eye on Utah.
Keep an eye on Utah.
They got three
Gunther
wins
back.
In 11 games.
Gunther back.
Yeah.
One and one since
but
Gunther
don't
came back.
Guys, don't they look, not Utah, but the Canucks, yes. Whatever they're going to call Utah. But with the Canucks, they look bigger. They are. I mean, every player they acquired is 6'2" or taller and heavier, and they look faster. They're sticking up for each other. And then there's this. It's like they made three trades, and I think you were saying this, Thomas, or it was actually a pretty good observation, so I'm not sure about that. But Elias Pettersson, the defenseman, it's like they made three trades.
Mm-hmm.
It's out of nowhere, this guy looks like, and I compared him to Alex Edler today because he's a third round pick, and Edler used to hit people at the start of his career. You compared him to Matias Olin.
and he
was getting under the skin of the Avalanche yesterday. It's like they made three good deals, like out of nowhere.
Absolutely.
This kid looks great, and he's got some size.
So Thomas, are you just trying to be a are you just trying to be a dick here, or are you serious? They're 4-1-1 in their last six. They just beat Colorado. So you're ripping us because we took our positivity pills?
No,
really?
I loved what we saw last night. It was the most fun I've had watching a Canucks game in a long time, but I'm...
Oh, really?
By a lot. Because they looked like a team again. They looked like they tried, like they cared, like there was some joy in terms of what they were doing on the ice. And while I'm relieved that's what we saw last night and frankly what we've seen for a couple games in a row, I'm also annoyed by the fact that, like, you know, if you'd asked me last week, I'd have told you we've seen a lot of half-assed efforts from the Vancouver Canucks this season.
Yeah.
Coming out of last night, I realize in retrospect, it was more like a tenth of an ass. They weren't even using half of a butt. It was a tenth. And so I agree with you, Rick. There's lots to be positive about, but I'm also just so frustrated that we had to watch 50 games of dreck. And now we see what we saw last night, and it's like, oh man, what a welcome. It doesn't change the fact that they wasted 50 games of this season, I don't know, playing divorced hockey. You know, like playing hockey like they were on the precipice of a divorce.
Which they were. They were, though, right? So, like,
but everyone loves everyone, according to Michael Bublé, right? Everyone's happy. It's like, come on, this has sucked. This has sucked all season, and really more than anything, last night reminded me that I have, and I think the city has, a tremendous appetite for a new story. The story we'd been told and that we've watched unfold around this previous core group, it was getting stale, it was getting odious, and frankly, you know, I think that's why the Pettersson's quiet performance last night takes on this extra layer of anger among fans, because now you've got Pettersson's struggles being sort of representative of a page that I think everyone in the city kind of just wants to turn. Is this fair or not?
I can't get past I can't get past tenth of an ass. To be honest with you, I kind of tuned out after that.
We've already had a dick and an ass reference in the crossover. We're like 5 minutes in here.
That's right. Yeah.
Hey, you know what's coming next? A Peter North reference. Anyways, listen, Thomas.
That was more than a tenth, I'll tell you that.
Thomas, help me out here.
I can't.
The fact that, you know, you bring up Peter North, people get upset, but everybody knows who the guy is.
Peter North, first of all, is Canadian. Second of all, if you were in the 80s, you know, we grew up in the 80s, Donnie and I.
You don't have to explain Peter North to the
people. Everybody in the 80s knew Peter North.
I think everybody knows him now.
I gotta say, I didn't know he was Canadian, though. I learned something today.
I did not know he was Canadian. Newfoundland.
Yeah.
Newfoundland.
National pride,
the
baby.
Name kind of explains it all.
Yeah.
All
right, Jamie? I was like, that must be how he got his name. He's from the north.
Yeah.
That just dawned on me.
All right. Thomas...
He's starring in Tenth of an Ass.
Yeah. All right. Let's get it back. Let's get it back here, fellas.
This is real rope-a-dope stuff. All right.
Yeah. But, Thomas, I just want to say something to you. We were talking about the win last night. And we're trying to be positive. They're 4-1-1. And you bring up the first 50 games. We never talked about the first 50 games. We were literally talking about last night's win and the fact they're 4-1-1 in their last six. And you, for some reason, brought up the last 50 games. That's not what we were talking about, Thomas.
I know.
Well, Thomas. What I can't believe is that you know, in line with what you were saying, and to defend you, I can't believe that they're like what 1 point out of third place. I know LA's got three games in hand. I never would have guessed that. Like I almost stopped looking at the standings because I assumed that they were going to make the playoffs, and now they're tied points wise with Calgary, and a lot of that has to do with what you said. I mean, they've been awful, but the last two games or so, it's been pretty darn
last
good.
Last six, it's been good. You got to call it like it is.
First of all, I just like to get mad, especially at my good pal Rick. But also, I think more than anything, it's like I'm excited by what we saw last night. Don't get me wrong. But I'm not giving a ton of credit to I will give a ton of credit if they can sustain and play hockey like that for 30 more games. Whether they make the playoffs or not, if there's that level of intensity and passion and fun at the rink when I watch this team play, I'll say, heck yeah. That's what I'm talking about. But I can't give them too much credit because part of the reason that it was so fun was how different it looked from what I think we need to look back on and regard as, you know, just like the sneering joylessness of this season that has been, frankly, a bit of a waste of time. And so I'm glad that it's over, but I'm going to be a little bit more circumspect in my credit doling out than Rick, who you know, he gives credit every time he eats a banana, so he's always given credit. Hey, Ricky, Carson Soucy. Let's talk Carson Soucy. Yep. Played right side yesterday, got some zone starts for young Elias Pettersson. Looked pretty good. Like all Canucks players, played well yesterday. What's the latest on where that all stands, given that clearly he's been made available and yet it's a complicated situation? He's got a young family. He has Western Canadian roots and he has a full no-trade clause.
Yeah, you nailed some pretty important notes there. First of all, he was the healthy scratch Detroit. Then word leaked that the Canucks have made him available around the league. I talked to his agent, Jerry Johansson. Soucy's first preference, guys, is to stay in Vancouver and make it work. Like you said, young family, you really don't want to pick up and leave. He did not sign for 3 years in this city to be moved in a year and a half, guys. I mean, let's, you know, think about the family, the person, the whole, and he's from Viking, Alberta, not far away. Probably a big reason why he signed in Vancouver. If it doesn't work out, his agent and his firm is to prepare to work with the Canucks to help facilitate a trade. Soucy can obviously help his cause when he gets in the lineup to play better and all that stuff. But he makes 3.2, full no trade. It's not an easy move, guys. It's not. And when Soucy signed in Vancouver, he had 6 to 7 teams after him. And then the Canucks made the final three. And him being from Alberta, obviously, probably played a, you know, he came from Seattle, right? Mm-hmm. He wants to stay on the West Coast and that and all that stuff. So he's got the full no trade. So let's see how this plays out. He's in the lineup at practice right now in the third pair. Brendan Batchelor just tweeted out the pairs, and he is there with Elias Pettersson, the defenseman. So he's obviously going to play in San Jose tomorrow, it looks like. So let's monitor that. But I think the first thing that Soucy wants to do is try and make it work in Vancouver for obvious reasons.
Yeah, I think he's a good player, even though he's obviously had an inconsistent season. He had about 5 good weeks in November pretty quietly, but other than that, obviously a disappointing, especially given what he showed last year. But man, there's something going on right now with that pair with Elias Pettersson. I mean, how good was that kid last night, Donnie?
Oh my gosh, just so impressive. And I'll go back to what I was saying earlier about Edler. And I think the comparisons, you know, sorry, go ahead.
No, Edler was so smooth with the puck and skating with the puck when he first broke in. I think it's a different, I think stylistically they don't remind me of one another. What they do remind me of, though, where I do think there's a comp is, you see them play, and it doesn't take you long to be like, oh, that guy's got it. That guy's got it. Both of them you knew right away, okay, but for different reasons.
But they're both Swedish, as you probably know.
Both third-round picks.
And both third-round picks. But what people forget about Edler, and maybe I was going a little too far with this, much like my comparison of Hedl to Bure from earlier in the
week.
But I'll get back to that in a second. What people forget about Alex Edler, and you'll remember this, Thomas, although you're like 25 years old, so maybe you don't. But Alex Edler used to hit people.
Yeah.
And then the back problems came, and he didn't do that anymore. Not as much anyway. But when he was a youngster, he used to hit people, and that's what Pettersson was doing last night, to the point where he was pissing off a very good team and throwing them off together. They were going after him, and that's where I think maybe Rick's comparison is better with believe it or not, Matthias Olin is probably a little bit more the same. But what I saw of him hitting people, it reminded me of Edler. And by the way, let me talk about Hedl and Bure. I wasn't comparing the two players, and I'm not saying that, you know, his number is going up to the rafters by any stretch of the imagination. What I was comparing was their debuts, in that Hedl is the first forward in a long time that I can remember taking the puck and trying to go end to end in his debut, much like Bure did in November 5th, 1991. I haven't seen that in a long, long time. It was really, really impressive. And Thomas, you know this. There's a stat out there about his zone entries being way higher than everybody else's on the Canucks. And all I'm saying is that in terms of debuts, Hedl reminded me a lot of that night with Pavel Bure. In fact, maybe a little bit better. Maybe that's a stretch. He scored. Burry didn't get a goal or an assist.
That's true.
At his,
better time. Debut than Pavel Burry. There you go. Heard it here first.
He's been dancing, man, and it's made a huge, huge difference.
Yeah.
I also think lost in this, you know, Drew O'Connor's brought some speed, some grit to this Canucks lineup, and Marcus Pedersen is playing that perfect style of defensive hockey where you sort of take all these notes. Like, I take notes during the game, and I'm like, good gap, things I like, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of it, I'm like looking over the notes, and I don't actually remember the plays. I have to like go back and watch them on video because it was just such a quiet performance. I think that's exactly what you're looking for from a player like him. He's been awesome. Well, better than a five, I'd say.
And yes, and brings some puck moving as well, too. Yeah. Like, the puck is off his stick in a hurry, right? He doesn't hold on to it too much, and in a good way, not in a panic off the glass and out way. He gets the puck, and he makes a play quickly. And, you know, Donnie, you were saying, look, they look bigger, they're standing up for themselves, and they look faster.
They look like a team, man. The standing up for one another thing is so big. Yeah. This looked so lifeless all year, and all of a sudden they're, like, competing for one another. Man, that was a welcome sight.
The speed thing is fascinating for me, though, because you're right. Like, Hedl, the speed, O'Connor, Pedersen helps them play fast. It's got me thinking more about the future of Brock Besser. You know, we all know how much Jim Rutherford likes his fast players. We all know that is not one of Brock Besser's best attributes, to say the least. And you see these new guys come in and how much life it seems to breathe into the team. We know they have a decision to make on Brock Besser. I start to wonder, I mean, Are we seeing a transition to a new identity that's more based around speed? And does Brock Besser fit into that? And how much is that going to impact the decision they have to make on him here as a pending unrestricted free agent?
Well, they haven't stopped talking to Besser's agent, Ben Hankinson. They haven't, as far as I know, last time I checked in, they haven't stopped. They got time to strike a deal. If the term and the money makes sense, I would expect they would like Brock Besser back, but I don't get the feeling they're there on term or money. And, you know, you can rip Brock Besser skating all you want, Jamie. He is 10th all-time on this hockey club in goal scoring, all-time in 9 years. If you're not a great skater at the NHL level, you have to have other things in your tool belt. And what he's got is great hockey sense. And what he's got is he's got a lethal shot, and he's got so many other attributes. Okay, he's not a burner. Mm-hmm. He's not Pavel Bure. But how do you become the 10th all-time leading goal scorer in a hockey club if you're really, really that bad of a skater? Look, do the Canucks want to do 7 or 8 years with Brock? Probably not. Do they want to go to eight and a half? Probably not. You know, but he's at 6.5. He's a goal-scoring winger, has scored an average of 24 his entire career since he came into the NHL. If he hits July 1st, I'm gonna presume, Jamie, he's going to do fine on July 1st. I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, I think the 8 years, Rick, I'm sure is what's...
That's not... I would be shocked if it's 8 years. I would be surprised because the Canucks are going to say, what's his foot speed in years?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Although he's never really, he's done well without depending on foot speed. So there's that.
Well, as we'll Luke see. Shen has often said, another Ben Hankinson client, you can't lose what you never had. That's what Luke Shen says about his declining foot speed. Because of course, Luke Shen has an inverted age curve, right? He's gotten better in his mid-30s for no reason. You know, at the end of the day, though, Rick, like, Brock Besser has 17 goals across 46 games. Like, this is a guy, I know he missed some time after the Genoa.
Minus seven. He missed seven with a concussion, Tommy.
Right. So scale that up. That's 30 goals over 82 games, right? I mean, this is an off season for a team that struggled to score, and Besser's still like a 30-goal scorer. Whenever in any season that he can stay healthy, he's a pretty good bet to give you 30. He's going to get max term on the open market. Like, is he going to be as hotly pursued as Rantanen, Marner, and Ehlers? Probably not. But he's the next guy up, and the cap's going
Nelson?
Up a ton.
Yeah.
Well, but Nelson's a center.
Yep.
So he'll be the second.
No, I understand that, but I'm talking about
Yeah. Nelson and Bennett, you know, like, I mean, there's some centermen that'll be hot, a lot of people will be in hot pursuit of, but.
Oh, for sure.
But Besser, I mean, he's going to be one of the top guys. I think he gets max term. So it's, I'd imagine this is a complicated one for the club to figure out here, Rick.
Yeah, you know what? If I can chime in here with Brock Besser, you mentioned Luke Shen and how he had to adjust his game. I mean, you know, the start of his career was not great, and you know, there's the infamous or famous story about him being in the Anaheim organization and being sent down and being able to resurrect his career there and coming back up and changing his game. I think Brock Besser, like Luke Shen, has done a good job of adjusting his game. He wins board butt battles. He's strong. He's a good passer. His first year or two was all about his shot.
Yep.
I think he's done a great job of not just surviving, but thriving while changing his game. And I think a lot of teams have respect for that. And you talk about where he's from in Minnesota, the cap room that they're going to have. I could see something, a marriage happening there. But I really respect him as a player. Any player that can survive like that, I respect.
Hey, guys, I want to ask you something. Like, if you go back to the bubble, the Canucks have, since the bubble, lost Bo Horvat. They've now lost JT Miller and on the verge possibly of Brock Besser. Like, these guys have lost a lot of that core and a lot of big names that could be potentially out the door. And, you know, there's still word that, you know, we got to watch what happens with Elias Pettersson. The Canucks can move him at the draft if they're not happy with the way the season ends. Like, you know what? They've lost a lot of big names and a lot of character guys. And that dressing room next year could be totally, totally different.
Thank
Very
God.
Different.
Well,
thank
you know,
God.
Can I say something here?
Like, thank God, though, Rick.
What
right?
did Rick Tocchet say? Yeah. You say that, Thomas, but what did Rick Tocchet say after the game? He went on, and this is surprising, about Marcus Pettersson and the leadership. That he shows in the dressing room, which we didn't know about.
Yeah, I mean, I just
have to sign him, too.
Obviously, a lot of great individual players collectively as a team across 6 years. I don't know. Did you have a ton of fun?
Last year you did, Thomas. You were writing glowing articles just like everybody else was. Did you not have fun last year, Thomas?
And talking about the lack of offensive punch, right? I mean, last year was fun. It was awesome, but that was 1-6. You know, like the bubble was fun. The Bruce bump, the Bruce There It Is bump was fun, Rick. They weren't good.
So
enough.
You're saying get rid of this core is basically what. You know, so you get
they
rid of
have.
All these guys.
You just said it.
He's gonna hang.
You just said it. They already have. They've got big decisions coming on Besser, on Demko. It's already compromised.
Yeah.
We're already in a new era, Rick. Right?
Yeah. Oh, so are you going to keep Quinn Hughes if you get rid of all the guys you want to get rid of, Thomas? Is he going to hang around? With all his buddies gone?
Obviously, you need to do everything you can to keep Quinn Hughes, but I promise you that a lot of the guys who've been here for a long time
are
feeling...
Well, how are you going to keep him when all his buddies are gone?
What, you think he was having a great time this year? You think he's less... You think you think he watches last night's game and that makes him less likely to stay? Come on. I'm just saying, Rick. Like, what do you disagree with here?
Yeah.
What do you mean disagree with here?
You're getting rid of all his the guys he grew up with, this team, Besser, Demko, Pettersson, all these guys. If you get rid of them all and don't replace them with the quality of the guys going out the door, how are you going to keep Hughes in 2 years, Thomas?
Yeah, but of course you got to replace the guys, Rick, if you move on from them. I don't think anyone's suggesting
not
replacing
the same
them.
Quality.
Yeah, but
Jamie,
quality
why not
Jamie,
though? Why
but
Jamie,
quality
hold on.
Or not? Rick, how much do you value in your line of work, when you're thinking about other media guys, when you're holding yourself to your own standard, how much do you think about your quality versus your work ethic? What makes you special, that you bring it every day, or that you know how to pronounce European names better than anyone else in the industry, right? Like, it's the work ethic. Like, it's the work rate, it's the joy, it's the passion. There's stuff about teams. They might not look as good on paper without Miller or Horvat, but if they play the way they did last night, I'll take that team 10 times out of 10 over the team I've seen play 50 games this year prior to those
trades. It's all about winning. It's all about winning.
All about winning. Yeah. And having some fun and entertaining and working hard. And come on, be a team. I liked what I saw last night.
Yeah, and you know, even that they lose that Detroit game in overtime, and I thought
played
it was great. One of their best efforts of the season. That was in a loss.
Well. They played well in that game.
All right, we got to
go.
Sorry, I did want to.
Hey,
go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, I was going to read this text.
Parking, I'm going to get if I get my car towed, you
charge,
two are paying for
that's
it.
Right. Charge Thomas.
From the Dunbar Lumber text line, we got this text.
Happy to.
I am 19 and I have never heard of Peter North in my entire life. So there you go. You got to introduce somebody, a young 19-year-old, to Peter North, Rick. Congratulations.
Nope. Hey.
He'll know all about him in the next 5 minutes. Hey,
is it fair to say that introducing that young gentleman to Peter North constitutes a blast from the past?
All right.
You got to be over 50. You got to be over 50 to know Peter North.
You didn't get that one, Thomas.
Hey, let's get out of here. I got to go with my car.
All right, that is the crossover with Don Taylor and Rick Dhaliwal.
I would say our most unhinged.
That was
ever.
A wild one. That was truly, there was peaks and valleys to that. There was Peter North. There was anger. There was a lot going on in that crossover. We'll take a break here. We'll come back, try to get things a little bit back on the rails here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.